A gruesome story leads off our newscast.
Milwaukee police found body parts in a Northside apartment, and now they wonder if they've uncovered some kind of death factory.
At least 30 people have been found dead at a hotel.
Police found parts of bodies, leading them to believe the man they arrested is a mass murderer.
C-O-Z-O.
Oh my God!
And welcome everybody to another episode of Lobotomized. I'm Kevin.
And I'm Amanda.
Yes, and unfortunately, no Kyle this week. He's starting the new year off right by getting sick, so...
Woohoo! He was just sick!
I know, yeah. It sucks. Back to back. It's that time of year, though. Like, it's all shitty out, like...
I know.
Always getting sick right now.
You're with a bunch of people at parties. It just takes one person to get sick at a party to just spread their holiday cheer.
Mm-hmm. Ugh, God. But yeah, so, you know, we're wishing him well, but he should be back for the next one. But first and foremost, you know, Happy New Year's, everybody.
Happy New Year!
So, it's currently the first of the year when we're recording this, so this will be our inaugural episode for 2026. So, what are we talking about today, Amanda?
We are talking about Demir Pachinovich.
Nice.
So, you probably have no idea who that is.
Yeah, you're probably like, who the fuck is Demir Pachinovich?
And that's And that's exactly what we said last week. We're like, who is this guy? But I kind of like so last week we did New Year's crimes.
Yeah.
And as I was looking through New Year's crimes, I came across this guy who we'll talk about today, but
this guy's amazing.
This guy is
this guy's
like
fucking ridiculous.
It is amazing. I mean, I was just so we'll get into it, but he had a lot of diamond heists. And so
a world traveling jewel thief, basically. Like, this dude is a literal Bond villain. Like, it's
exactly.
Fucking amazing.
So
fucking fantastic.
When I hear a jewel heist, because last week one of the topics that we talked about for the crimes was the Manhattan jewel heist.
Yeah, it was like 2016. Because all this was recent too. Like, this isn't something that this guy did like way back in the 30s or something like that. Like, this is recent.
Correct. So the whole reason why we're doing this week is because last week we talked about it. It was back in 2016 on New Year's Eve. And there's thousands of cops around, but they're all at Times Square. And honestly, when, stuff that happens not, maybe a couple blocks away, the police don't have the time or the energy for it. And so
that's not really where they're looking.
And so there was a massive diamond heist at a store very close to Times Square. And that's how we kind of wanted to learn more about this dude.
Dude just rolled in, and we'll get to it later on, but I think it was something like $3 million in jewels, and he just threw them all into his bag with the freaking dollar sign on it and ran off. Like, it was amazing.
I am like mesmerized. So we wanted to do a whole podcast on this guy.
We think it warrants it, because like literally this guy did like 16 heists, I think.
He didn't even get caught. So the one from 2016.
They weren't all successful, but there was 16 attempted robberies over the years.
Yeah.
Like all over the world, too.
Yeah. Like, and I know when I think of, he didn't even get caught until like 2 years after that 2016 one specifically.
Oh, yeah.
But he was only caught because he was found to have been behind a bunch more diamond heists. So we're like, well, we got to learn more about this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I know when I hear the word diamond heist, I just think of a movie plot. Like, it doesn't feel like real life.
Straight up Ocean's 11, Ocean's 12, like all that shit.
It does not feel like real life. So, yeah, I'm excited to just get into it. Like, this guy's just an enigma.
Yeah, I know, right? All right. So, Demir, let's start off with his early life and his background a little bit. Demir Pachinovich, which from now on, we're just going to call him Damien, just to make things a little easier. Yeah. Another alias he had was Coco. That was kind of fun. But he was born around 1974. His early life details, though, are pretty sparse in public records. There's really not a whole lot known about him.
Which is weird. And that makes me, like, even more mesmerized, because I tried to look into that, too, and I'm like, I can't really find anything on this dude.
And like I said, he was born in 1974. Like, it's not like he was born in 1898 and it's like, oh, we didn't keep records that good back then, you know? Like, this is the mid-70s. There should be more about this guy, but...
Absolutely.
Who knows?
Like, he's, like, significantly younger than my parents.
Yeah, see, there you go. But he was raised in the Bronx, New York, and later became known among his neighbors as Damien from the Bronx, the guy who made it, now lives in the Village. So he was one of these, you know, George and Wheezy moving on up to the Upper East Side, you know.
Like Jenny from the Block.
Yeah, used to exactly.
have a little, now she
like,
has a lot.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Like, he finally got a piece of the pie. So, because, yeah, like, I guess he ended up moving into this, you know, the Village, with his, which is this, you know, pretty affluent neighborhood in New York City. Speculation from sources familiar with the organized jewel thefts suggests that he may have had a background in the former Eastern Bloc military, which could explain his disciplined approach to crime, including skills in breaking and entering, fraternal loyalty among his crew members, and a preference for low-key, non-flashy operations.
It makes sense.
It does. The military theory aligns with the crew's structured tactical methods, though no concrete evidence confirms his origin country or specific service history.
Not even his origin country? Yeah. We don't know where he's from?
Yeah, he just fell out of the sky in 1974, I guess.
How did they even know he was born in 1974 then?
They're guessing based on his age when he got arrested.
Oh my God! This blows my mind.
Yeah.
But it is kind of validating because, like I said, I was trying to look him up and I'm like, what the heck? Like, how come I was kind of looking him up. Like, it was just really weird, like, what was coming up. I don't know. I just thought I was looking in the wrong places.
No. So, his criminal inclinations apparently appeared early, around 1998. Which is approximately 20 years before his major arrest. He was arrested in Beverly Hills, California, while attempting to dismantle a jewelry store's phone lines.
He was really young.
An act that foreshadowed his later sophisticated burglaries.
So he was...
He was like 24.
Wow.
Yeah, he was like 24 when this happened. I mean, that's pretty good. He's trying to, like, fuck up the phone lines and pull some of that shit.
You know what this shows me? He is a genius.
Yeah,
he is a smart guy.
He seems pretty smart.
I bet if he took the ACT, my friend.
Yeah, I know. Right? He would get at least like a 26 or something.
Oh, no. At least a 32.
Yeah, I was going to say, what's the perfect score on
it? I think
it?
A 36.
Is it 36?
Okay. I think it's 36.
Nice.
I think 35 or 36.
However, despite with this brush with the law, he managed to build a seemingly legitimate life. He married, Spresa Pichinovic, with whom he had two young sons. And the family settled into a luxurious $10 million townhouse on West 4th Street in New York City's West Village.
Can you imagine that? A $10 million townhouse.
Yeah.
A townhouse.
That's ridiculous.
But that's just because it's like...
That's because it's like right in the middle of the fucking city.
Oh my God.
He lived like right down the street from fucking Jeffrey Epstein. So, Spresa operated a hair salon out of the building, catering to clients in a low profile manner. And Damien himself drove ordinary cars, rarely hosted visitors, and was described by neighbors as quiet, polite, and unassuming. He often just sat on his porch, smiling at passersby, blending seamlessly into the affluent neighborhood. One neighbor speculated he came from a big real estate family, while others noted his subpar home repair skills, such as shoddy roof improvements that raised eyebrows on the quaint block.
So, like, he why didn't he just pay somebody?
I mean, you would think that's what I thought. That's what I thought. Like rich people did. I thought they just paid other people to do stuff.
I'm not going to buy a $10 million house and then do all my own repairs. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Exactly.
Like, if you can't pay somebody to fix it, why don't you buy a $9 million house and then use the $1 million extra to do repairs?
I don't know.
I don't know. That's very funny.
Yeah. All right, and beyond his domestic life, Damien attempted a couple of legitimate ventures. Apparently, he tried to launch a movie company called One World Films, but it never produced any credited works, according to IMDb records. Sources who knew his wife from her time at a Manhattan salon recalled Pasinovich as reserved and not particularly friendly when picking her up. Okay, kind of a dick, but I mean, like, whatever. Fuck you people. Like,
it could have been a cultural thing. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. By the mid-2000s, however, his focus had shifted firmly to organized crime, where he amassed enough wealth to potentially retire, though he continued operations until his arrest. No, he couldn't stop. He couldn't stop. That was like the best drug in the fucking world right there.
Heck yeah, that's like Breaking Bad.
Mm-hmm.
He could have retired, but
it's like you think.
Why?
Like, I'm not going to step aside. Like, no what's way. The fun in that?
Uh-uh. That power you have.
Ugh. Oh, that's fantastic. Unfortunately, though, his marriage did begin to unravel around the time of his 2018 arrest, with Spresser reportedly initiating a split following a domestic incident in which he pleaded guilty to a violent felony.
Did they say what happened?
Not really.
Yeah.
A felony, though?
A violent felony.
Like, he probably fucked her up pretty good if it's a violent felony.
Yeah. No, I agree.
All right. All right. I don't like this guy as much, but...
Yeah.
Just for the record. He's still pretty cool, but... I don't know. All right. Yeah, your turn.
Okay. So, the formation of the Pasinovich Enterprise and crew composition. Around 2006, Damien established what authorities dubbed the Pasinovich Enterprise, an international burglary ring specializing in high-value jewelry heists. Movie plot.
Yeah, I know.
Totally right? Seems like it.
Do you think they had, like, t-shirts with, like, Pasinovich Enterprise on them and shit?
I just picture, like, not that, but I just picture him, like, at a desk, and he just turns his squiggle chair around and has, like, Pasinovich Enterprise, like, above it or some shit. Like, but,
so you think there's at least a banner?
Yes.
There's at least a banner. Something. Right. They might not have shirts, but there's at least a banner. All right, cool. Nice.
Okay. So prosecutors described the group as, quote, incredibly sophisticated, drawing comparisons to the film Ocean's 11 due to his specialized roles and meticulous planning. Pasinovich served as the ringleader, deciding targets, timing, and methods for each operation. He rarely participated directly in the physical break-ins, instead quarterbacking from remote locations using technology or waiting in a getaway car. Oh my god!
That's pretty awesome.
It is.
It's pretty fucking awesome.
Yeah. I mean, once we go through what kind of crimes he did, you have to be sophisticated. You cannot be a dumb criminal to do what he did.
No.
You cannot have dumb criminal cronies. You gotta be a sophisticated gang.
Well, okay. The brutes, they can be dumb as shit. That's fine. But like, you do need like that.
I disagree. Like, they have to like, or at least they have to be able to follow directions. To a T.
Oh, yeah. Oh, 100%.
To a T. Like, but just follow directions.
Like, those guys, like, as long as you keep the, commands simple, like, that helps them out. But, yeah, like, I don't know. That's what this next part is. Tell us about the different types of people that he got to join his enterprise.
Sure. So, the crew was assembled like literally a heist movie cast.
It's amazing.
Recruiting members with specific skills. So... He would hire acrobats for gaining access via rooftops or tight spaces.
That's amazing.
Fucking insane.
That's amazing.
Okay.
That's so fucking cool.
What does he do? Go to the circus or go to Cirque du Soleil?
That's what I'm saying, dude.
Like, how do you find these people.
He's trying to recruit, like, the Flying Graysons and
like,
shit.
Do you put, like, fucking amazing. Indeed? Yeah. Like, do you put this position on Indeed? Like, what do you do? And then, so...
I've never put my, freaking ladder horse freaking skills on my resume before, so...
Oh, like on a LinkedIn?
Like a gymnast thing, yeah.
Yeah, what the hell? Yeah. So...
I'm terrible at rings.
So, here at Acrobats, he hired strong men to break through walls, safes, or vaults using brute force, and as well as tech experts for disabling alarms, jamming cell phones, cutting phone lines, and bypassing security systems. This is incredible.
It's fucking fantastic.
I know.
It's like he's Hans Gruber, and like he recruited, like, all of his guys are like, it's just like the freaking terrorist group in Die Hard. It's fucking,
like,
amazing.
I'm reading this and I still can't believe that this is true.
Yeah.
It's
like,
so
you had the straight up muscle, like you had like the nerdy, like Urkel looking guy who was like the tech expert and shit. Like, is literally from a fuck. This guy just watched movies, I feel like, and it was just like, yeah, I could do that. Just made it real.
And he did it.
Yeah, he watched Die Hard a bunch of times and was like, oh yeah, I could totally fucking do this.
Yes. And so there was key named associates. Some of them included this Jimmy Bochkovic. He was 36 when he, at the time he was arrested, which means he was doing this since he was young.
Yeah,
like, he's getting young. He was a young guy getting young people.
These are, like, his three, like, main guys.
Yeah.
So I feel like he knew them.
Yeah.
Like, forever. From, like, back in, you know, Beverly Hills or wherever. When he first got arrested, he probably knew them from, like, way back then.
Sure, sure. So Jimmy Bochkovic. We have Adrian Fiziku, who was 35 at the time of the arrest. And then Elvis.
Nice.
Kirkovic, a.k.a. Gorilla, who was also 35 at the time he was arrested, which means that these guys are just young, smart guys.
I'm guessing he looked more like Fat Elvis than Skinny Elvis, judging that his nickname was Gorilla. So.
Or just very, I don't know, strong or just bulky in general. The group's operations spanned the United States and Europe.
This is a worldwide fucking crew.
Oh my God.
This is ridiculous.
So he's the Mr. Worldwide.
Yes. Yes.
With a focus on jewelry stores, banks, and high-end targets. They conducted extensive surveillance, staking out locations to learn employee patterns, security vulnerabilities, and optimal entry points. So they had patience. Like,
oh,
they
yeah.
didn't, it's not like they just did something in. Did it immediately. Like, they freaking study.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Kind of like Keanu Reeves in The Watcher.
Yes.
Studied the patterns.
He'd watch her for weeks. And then finally he'd pick a night. And then he would dance with her for some reason. And then he would, like, make out with her over duct tape. But he's allowed to do that because it's Keanu Reeves. It's fine. I do that, suddenly the cops are getting called, but it's Keanu Reeves, so it's fine.
All right, go for it, Bummer.
All right, cool. All right, yeah, let's get into some of these operations and stuff like this. So the group ended up executing at least 15 to 16 successful or attempted burglaries, primarily targeting jewelry stores and banks, netting between $10 million and $13 million in stolen jewelry, gold, and merchandise.
Oh, my God.
Fucking fantastic, boys. Good job. Operations spanned the United States, including New York City, Manhattan, Los Angeles, Beverly Hills, Kansas City, Portland, and Oregon. They were in Philadelphia, Massachusetts, and Maine. And then also they went over to Europe. They actually attempted to pull a heist in Frankfurt, Germany, but that one didn't end up, going down. But like we were saying though, Pasinovich, who, you know, he was the fucking mastermind behind all this, basically, you know, he didn't really participate in the physical aspect of it, like with the break-ins, but, you know, selected the targets, you know, determined the methods, you know, acted as a scout, and oftentimes he would serve as the getaway driver. He would monitor.
I'm actually surprised that he would serve as the getaway driver. Yeah, honestly, I feel
like he should be back at the base, like, just waiting for the fucking goons to get back.
I feel like he would be in a freaking another country. Or either that, like, a while away, just on the phone, like, okay, ready? Now. Like, almost just, he'd be in the conductor, you know? Yeah. That really did shock me. That
would be cool, though, if he was, like, more, you know, involved in it and stuff like that. If he was doing, like, I killed the bus driver, you know, like Joker at the beginning of The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
When you don't know he's there. And then, like, he just goes off by himself with all the fucking money.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that would have been cool. Because, like, oh, this guy, I don't know, his intelligence reminds me. He's got, like, that Joker-level intelligence, mm-hmm. you know, with, like, a criminal. But I mean, I guess it makes sense too. Like, he might have, in order to be able to, like, quarterback it, you know, like over like radios and stuff like that, he probably had to be closer. So,
right,
that makes sense.
Right,
and he's just like, all right, I'll be the getaway driver, but like, you guys gotta, you know, do everything as I tell you to do it, and blah blah blah.
Yeah, and I guess like, you know, I'm not a criminal, so it's hard to like. Trying to think as a criminal, but I guess it would make sense because if he was the one who was establishing the patterns of these people, and he was probably establishing patterns like on how to get away too. So he's probably like, you know what? I know how to get away, so I'll just drive the car.
I know the best route to take to get the fuck out of here. So,
and if not, you know, he was the unassuming guy who lives around there, you know?
Yep.
So if people saw him, he's just kind of the unassuming local, you know?
Yep. All right.
Or I guess I'm talking about the one strictly in New York, but I guess that doesn't work with the ones elsewhere.
Yeah,
but
it depends the target, you know, the layout, you know, what's around it. Like, there's a bunch of stuff you have to take into consideration.
For sure.
So. But yeah, a lot of the tools that they commonly used were power tools. Like, they would use sledgehammers, jackhammers, and like other heavy implements to breach structures and destroy safes.
I will never understand this because, I mean, I guess it doesn't really matter how loud you are if you've taken out all the security cameras.
Yeah.
If you know that, you know, if you've done the research inside
the building, you know, and stuff
it just
like
sounds
that.
So funny to me that how loud it is. I'm like, oh my god, that's. I feel like somebody's bound to hear, but I guess not if you're doing your research.
It's almost like so obvious. Like if you walked, you know, if you're like walking past a business that was like, you know, closed though, but you heard like a jackhammer going, you'd just be like.
Clearly they're doing construction.
Yeah, exactly. Like, there's no way somebody is literally in there, like, taking a jackhammer to a fucking safe. Like, there's no way. That's way too obvious.
Way too obvious.
I don't know. So every heist began with extensive recon, which is a good way to fucking do it.
Yep.
The crew members staked out the targets for days or weeks. You know, like we were saying, observing the routines and identifying entry points, mapping out security weaknesses. The burglars were typically smash and grab, but elevated by precision, often occurring at night or during holidays to minimize interference. Hence why they were doing it on, you know, New Year's with that one.
I feel like if I worked at one of these places, people would hate me because observing employee routines, like I have such ADD that I would leave and I'd be like, shit, I forgot my phone. I'd be back in there and or like the next day, like, you know what, I want to get in early so I could leave her. Like, they'd be like, what the fuck is her pattern?
Yeah.
She just keeps doing random shit.
It's like, we're gonna watch this one.
Like, I would be like the asshole employee that they're just
bring the trank gun just in case this one decides to show up. Well, speaking of that, the group actually avoided violence towards people, which is good, focusing on property crimes. But the scale and coordination led to federal racketeering conspiracy charges. that's heavy duty shit right there.
Yeah.
Okay. So at least five of the heists targeted Manhattan jewelry stores. Probably because he fucking lived in New York, like, I guess. didn't have to go too far to get his hands on some merchandise.
I feel like that is a lot of heists for Manhattan.
Yeah.
Like, that's a lot. Like, I don't know, like, how you...
I don't know how often jewelry heists happen. That's the thing. Like, I have no idea how often this stuff actually happens.
I mean, I could see somebody maybe, like, it probably happens frequently where somebody will try to, like, steal a ring or try to... But, like, a heist.
Yeah, like a straight-up, like, heist. Like,
five just seems like a lot for Manhattan. Because it doesn't seem... I mean, he did this over a span of how long? 10 years or something?
Yeah, it was like 10 years, something like that. 10, 15 years. It
just seems like... I feel like after the first or second one, people would be like, okay, this might be a pattern. Or after like the second or third one, be like, this is a pattern in Manhattan. Like, what are we going to do to make this not as frequent?
No.
Even if it's like... You know, I feel like if it's 5 out of 10, that's like one every 2 years, a big heist. That's a lot, but that's also a lot of time for the, I would love to know what the jewelers did. Like, if they like, I don't know.
Up security over time, like that kind of stuff.
Or had some like backup, you know, if something happens, like do they have backup cameras or... I don't know. That just seems like a lot.
I don't know. But, yeah, well, at least 5 of them did. Which reflected on the group's focus on high-value urban areas like New York City's Diamond District.
I didn't even know that existed.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's a Diamond District in New York. So.
Wow.
The Enterprise's international scope and technical prowess set it apart from typical theft rings with members of Albanian origin... including Pacinovic, bringing a disciplined, almost military-like approach to their operations. And going back to, you know, looking at it as possibly these guys being ex-military. So.
Wow.
All right. So let's get into...
So they think he's Albanian?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
Which, I mean, hey, at least he's just stealing jewels, you know? And he's not, like, taking people and having to have, like, Liam Neeson come after him and shit like that. So.
You do have to respect that.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like...
It's nice of him. Like, just steal the jewels. Don't steal the people.
Yeah.
So. I'm pretty sure that's who he was after in that first Taken movie, was the Albanians.
It was.
That sounds right, yeah.
It absolutely was.
Nice.
Yep.
All right. I like those movies. All right. I like Liam Neeson.
Liam Neeson is the shit.
Yep.
I love him so
much. I can't believe that they made 3 of them, though. Like, Jesus Christ, how many times is that bitch going to get taken? You know what I'm saying?
Like, that was, like, the most, honestly... To me, that movie was, like, the scariest movie. Because that's, like, such a scary thing.
Oh, yeah.
That totally can happen in real life. It's mm-hmm. like, holy shit.
Yeah. Quick side note, guys. A random person at the airport asks if you want to share a cab. Don't share a fucking cab. Okay?
Mm-mm.
That's how you get taken. All right. So, back to this. So, let's get into some detailed accounts of specific heists. So, while not all of the 15 to 16 are publicly detailed due to the indictment's focus on key examples, the following represent the most documented incidents, blah, 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 blah. So, here we go. All right, so March 2008, Manhattan jewelry store burglary. So, the location was an unspecified jewelry shop in Manhattan. The crew involvement, Pacinovich, you know... Jimmy and Elvis directly participated in this one.
Mm-hmm.
The method they used after staking out the store and disabling security systems, including alarms and phone lines. That's fucking amazing. The crew broke in using power tools and sledgehammers to access and empty the safes. The stolen amount, they made off with approximately $2.5 million in jewelry and merchandise.
Oh my God!
Outcome, successful theft, one of the earliest documented heists in the Enterprise's timeline, setting the pattern for future operations.
One of the earliest, like, and they were that successful.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, this, so, I don't want to say it was one of their first, because I'm sure they had other ones, but, like, holy shit, 2.5 mil.
Mm-hmm.
That place was empty. They emptied that place.
Well, how'd they end up doing with the next one here?
Okay, the next one was July 26th of 2009, so
When next, was the year first later?
Year
yeah,
later.
Yeah, the yeah. First one was 2008. This first one was March 2008, and this is July 2009.
Okay, yeah, so they're patient. They're patient yep. people. This was the Manhattan jewelry store burglary. So also in Manhattan. The first one was in Manhattan too, right?
Yes.
Okay, so the location, an unspecified jewelry store in Manhattan. Crew involvement was Pachinovich and Bolchkovic were directly involved in the break-ins. So that was Damien and Jimmy, right?
Yep.
Jimmy?
Yeah.
Okay. The methods, they did surveillance to identify vulnerabilities, followed by, again, disabling alarms and communications, entry via forced breach with safes smashed and open using tools. So nice. They really did the same thing. This time they only stole $850,000.
Oh, nice.
What a failure.
Yeah, I know, right?
$850,000 in jewelry losers. And merchandise. So it was a successful smash and grab, and it highlighted Pachinovich's hands-on role in earlier crimes.
Okay. So maybe like earlier on, like he was more involved, like actually going in and, you know, doing all this stuff.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, let's keep this going here. So we're going to go up to August 28th, 2010. This one is in Beverly Hills. So the location was a jewelry store in Beverly Hills, California. The crew involvement was the core members led by Pachinovich's planning. Sounds like with this one, he's more on the outside, you know, playing quarterback.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and this is in California.
This is in California as well. So we're going out of New York now. Their method, you know, they're doing the standard recon and tech disabling, physical breaking with tools to access the valuables. A bit of a lower haul on this one. They only got 70,000 in jewels.
Oh my God. But, how dare they?
Still successful. So, and like I said, this is cross country, you know, they're doing this shit. So that's pretty fucking awesome. And damn, like, They took a week off, and check out this, like, this next one. This next one was literally a week later.
Okay.
So,
I'll do this one.
Yeah, tell us about this
September
one.
September 5th, 2010. So we said a week later?
That's a week later, yeah.
Kansas City jewelry burglary. So it was a jewelry store in Kansas City, Missouri. This one was orchestrated by Pachinovich with on-site execution by his associates. So the methods they used were casing for employee patterns, they jammed the alarms, forced entry, safes destroyed. They took approximately $1 million in jewelry.
That's more like it.
So a successful outcome, and this expanded the enterprise's footprint beyond coastal cities. So now they are just...
I guarantee that was because they only got 70,000 in the last one. They're like, fuck, dude, like, we just got to... pull the trigger on another one.
And what made them choose Kansas City? Like, they're just...
Some dummy was not guarding $1 million very well, apparently.
Like, they must have... I mean, they, you know, they obviously do their research. They probably have a list of every freaking jewelry store.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure.
And there's certain things that they're looking for, and that's... Wow.
It's like, who's going to expect this in Kansas City? Like,
right? Yeah.
Remember, like, yeah, go start the recon.
Right.
You know, get those patterns going. So, yeah.
I just can't believe that was a week later.
Yeah, I know, right? Well, it's because they only got 70,000 the week before, I would imagine.
I know.
All right. So, going back to L.A. with this next one. So, this next one was in February 2011. This is the Broadway Gold Center heist. I was at the Broadway Gold Center in downtown L.A. It's a full enterprise with this one, you know, with Damien overseeing. Methods used, it was a notably sophisticated tunneling into the store from an adjacent point.
What the frick?
They tunneled into the store. That's amazing.
Like, how?
I have no...
Like, through walls? Like, in like from an adjacent store?
There was, like, an empty lot in the back, and they just started digging a hole and just dug up into the store or something. I have no idea.
Oh, my God.
That's amazing, though. That's fantastic. It was timed precisely after surveillance and combined with tool-based safe cracking. I love that they made a tunnel, though. That's so great.
That is so incredible.
This one was huge, though. Stolen amount was approximately $3 million in gold and jewelry. Outcome, of course, was successful. Showcased the crew's engineering skills beyond a simple smash and grab. So, yeah, they made a tunnel and fucking went into the store. That's fantastic.
I almost want to learn more about that specific one. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Like, what the fuck do you mean they did a tunnel? All right.
I know.
All right.
I'll do this one because this was the specific one that I talked about last week a little bit.
Yep.
So this was New Year's Eve 2016. It was the KGK jewelry heist. So the location was KGK jewelry office in Manhattan's Diamond District, which is less than a mile from Times Square. So where thousands of cops are, we're less than a mile from it. So crew involvement was his friend Jimmy and then Adrian Fisiku executed the actual break-in under Pachinovich's direction. So the method they used was they timed it to coincide with midnight celebrations for cover.
That's fantastic.
Makes total sense. Extensive staking out, security disabling, and forced entry using power tools and sledgehammers to breach safes. I mean, what better time to make
especially
all that
when everybody's
noise?
Screaming and shit, and then like, it's like, all right.
If I'm hearing noise at that time, just like the 4th of July, just like things like that, I'm not paying attention.
No, it's just like that's part of whatever is going on,
right? So the stolen amount was somewhere between $3 million and $6 million in jewels.
It's amazing.
So in that report varies on the exact value netted. So clearly a successful outcome and infamous for its bold timing. Part of the $5 million combined haul with a subsequent LA heist. So
fantastic.
Was there an LA? What do you mean?
There was the other one earlier.
Oh,
so like combined,
right.
Combined with that one, like they took like $5 million out of LA. So
wow,
yeah, good. Fuck them. It's awesome. Okay, so all right. So here's LA. Another one, an unspecified jewelry store in LA again. It's in March 2017.
This was
3 months later.
This is only 3 months later, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So 3 months later, they're in LA again, and Bokovic and Fisiku on site. You know, Damien was doing the planning, of course. This one, the prosecutors called extremely sophisticated. This is the one that they are really impressed by, I guess. But, you know, the usual surveillance, tech neutralization, and physical breach with jackhammers and tools. And then they took over $2 million in jewels. And, like I said, just took place 3 months after their last one, which showed them kind of picking up the pace. Now we get to a bit of a misstep. I'm not 100% sure why this one went tits up, but it did for some reason.
Okay.
They tried to do another heist in Frankfurt, Germany. So they're just going full international at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was Damien and Sirokovic attempted the theft. Planned international operation with surveillance and entry tactics, but for some reason it was unsuccessful. And so with it being unsuccessful, the stolen amount was none, but apparently the potential value was $10 million.
Holy shit. They
were going after $10 million, and that would have been their biggest one. So, but you know, for some reason, I don't know why, but it failed. There were some additional strikes that were in Portland, Kansas City, and Beverly Hills again. Unfortunately, not all 16 heists are publicly detailed, but the pattern involved cross-country and transatlantic travel, with Damien overseeing logistics.
Wow.
So, even after these successes, evidence showed that Damien was planning future crimes, including research on diamond dealers in Belgium and Switzerland, police scanner frequencies in Amsterdam, and a diamond workshop in Ohio.
Oh.
So, like, they found a bunch of stuff, like, you know, he was planning on going to all these fucking places. So he also conceptualized an undeveloped device for refurbishing safes, which he briefly defended in court as non-criminal before being silenced by his attorney. So no, that's separate. That's totally separate from what we're doing. Dude, shut the fuck up.
Oh my God.
Just shut the fuck up. That's fucking great. So, speaking of his attorney, you want to tell us about his arrest and legal proceedings?
Yeah. So, Pachinovich was arrested on October 24th, 2018, outside of his West Village townhouse by federal authorities. So, which this is so crazy to me that this whole time he's living right next to, you know.
Yeah.
The places where a lot of his crimes took place.
He's living in he's like in the town where, yeah, like.
A lot of his.
Probably, I don't know what, like 30% of his fucking crimes have been.
Yeah, that's crazy. So the raid uncovered incriminating evidence, a blueprint of a jewelry store, laptop files on global targets, and the aforementioned future heist plans.
They found his fucking database, dude.
Oh, man. Oh,
dude, how do you let him find your fucking database?
I don't know, man. So, Bochkovic and Kiseku were arrested this very same week, while Sirakovic was also charged. So, I'm sure when he found all that stuff, he found all their names.
Oh, I'm sure.
So they all initially pleaded not guilty. How? Come on. And were held without bond.
It's not about what you know. It's about what you can prove in court.
It's so funny. It reminds me of that. Do you remember that? Is it that Shaggy song? Was she coming in the counter?
Oh, yeah. That one.
Wasn't me. Yeah. Somebody banging on the sofa?
That
it wasn't
dumb
me.
Dumb fucking song.
I even caught you on camera. It wasn't me.
So fucking stupid.
Dude, it was you. So we found all this shit.
Clearly you.
So, charges included racketeering conspiracy, carrying up to 20 years, and interstate transportation of stolen property. Pachinovich's three associates pled guilty earlier, and on November 19th of 2020, Pachinovich followed suit before the U.S. Magistrate Judge Kevin Nathaniel Fox, admitting to the racketeering conspiracy. Prosecutors portrayed him as a calculated serial thief leading a team that methodically cased and burgled stores. His defense argued the crimes were unsophisticated, emphasizing his role as primarily a scout and driver. So
he's just like, no, it's not organized crime. Like, we're all stupid.
We're all stupid. Give me a lesser. Is he just, yeah. I mean, he's just looking for a lesser.
Oh, yeah.
Lesser,
he's like, I didn't know what they were doing inside. I was just the driver. I was just getaway driver.
I don't know
what
anything.
Are you talking about?
Oh my God. It's
nice try, Damien. Nice try.
I mean, the defense attorneys at this point, like, how do you even, hey, we have all this evidence. Okay, dude, I can't get you out of this.
Yeah.
We can say that something. You're stupid, though. We're going to try.
Yeah.
Tell you're smart, but we're going to try.
All right. We're going to go with what I like to call the retard defense. So going to pretend like you're a fucking waterhead, and then hopefully they won't put you in jail for the rest of your life.
And they're like, we see right through that. You're very smart.
Yep.
Damn it.
Could we get him in like a shirt that's not long enough and like maybe one of those hats with the little like spinner thing at the top, like him show up into court like that, you know, and be like, no, look at him. Like, does this look like a genius to you? Like, come on.
Wow. That's crazy that was their defense. Was not organized.
I mean, they tried it. Yeah. Dude, this is highly organized. You were taking out security systems and fucking, like, correlating on holidays and shit like that. This was highly fucking organized. Oh, man. All right, so let's get into his sentencing and his current status. So, on October 28th, 2021, Manhattan federal judge Victor Marrero sentenced Damien to 8 years in prison via a telephone conference because of fucking COVID.
Oh, my God.
Followed by 3 years of supervised release. This judge cited the offense's seriousness, long duration, and sophistication as factors in his sentence.
That doesn't seem like that at all.
That seems like the opposite.
That seems like the complete opposite.
Like, you got 8 years for all this shit for being an international jewel thief. Like, you get 8 years in prison. Like, that's not bad.
And it's not like attempted burglary, dude. Like, this guy stole millions.
Yeah. No, that's not bad. That's not bad at all. Let's see. Damien offered no extensive statement, though he briefly spoke about his safe device idea before being cut off. He was like, I guess they gave him, like when they give him, it's like, does the defense have anything to say about their actions? And he's trying talking about the safe device fucking idea again. Oh, it sounds like he was just fucking with him a little bit. It feels like his defense is constantly telling him to shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Unfortunately for him, the government sought to seize his $10 million townhouse, which had been listed for sale, but was pulled from the market. So
did they seize it?
I don't know if they seized it. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they did. But I know they sought to, but
yeah,
it never says so. Pachinovich has been detained since his 2018 arrest at the Metropolitan, Jesus Christ.
The really? Metropolitan?
The Metropolitan. Sorry. Sound like his defense. So the Metropolitan. Jesus Christ. The Metropolitan. There we go. Detention center in Brooklyn. As of December 31st, 2025, with time served approximately 7 years by then, he is likely nearing the end of his sentence, potentially eligible for release in 2026, accounting for good behavior. No significant updates on his status have surfaced in news from 2022 onward, suggesting he remains incarcerated without further incidents reported.
Dude, you know what? This guy is so smart. I just feel like he's the kind of guy who could do a jewel heist from his cell.
100%. Oh, yeah.
Like, seriously. I don't doubt that for a second. I mean, he would have to find new cronies to help him because they're all in jail, too.
Oh, but, of course, but...
I mean, and I guarantee I guarantee he's doing good behavior. Like, he's gonna be out.
Oh, yeah, he's getting out this year. Like, I'm sure he is. Curious thing, though, is, like, I wonder how much money he stashed. Like, did you think he had to have stashed, like, a bunch of money somewhere? Like, there's no way the government got all that money back. Like, he's got to have money stashed somewhere. So he's just waiting until he gets released.
Or who's laundering it?
Yeah, like whatever. He's got somebody, like, keeping it, like, holding it for him, you know, something like that. But I don't know. But, yeah, so that is the story of... Freaking, what the hell is his first name? His real first name?
Damir,
yes. Freaking Damir Pesinovich.
Like,
international jewel thief.
I mean, so when was the first Ocean's 11 created?
The first Ocean's 11? I want to say, what was it like? Maybe like 2012? Something like
that. The first one?
I think so. Maybe around that time.
When was his first? Was it 2006?
His first thing was like young. It was like 1998.
Oh, when
he got first arrested in Beverly Hills for trying to do something.
I mean, because so this guy, like, I mean, I would watch a full TV series on this guy.
Oh yeah, I mean, this is another one. You know, hey Netflix, looking at you. Give me a 6-episode, you know, freaking miniseries on this guy.
Seriously. I mean, yeah, and I mean, I guess it could be a docuseries, but just, I'd rather almost not. I just want it to be a series.
Yeah.
Of just like maybe based on him or.
I was way off. All right, 2001.
Okay.
2001 is when Ocean's 11 showed up. So maybe he saw Ocean's 11 and was like, I can actually do this.
Like, I strive to be like them.
Yeah, like, I can totally do this and it'll be fine. He's like, I could be like Brad Pitt. That'd be amazing.
And he was.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's kind of nuts because, I mean, I think you said too, before we did our previous episode on the New Year's crimes, I never even heard of this guy.
Yeah. And that's why I actually, I love that, because this isn't the first time we did an episode based off of our crimes one. Yeah. Remember the Halloween one? We learned about those Detroit fires.
Mm-hmm.
And so then we did a whole episode on that.
Yeah, we were doing the Hell Night episode and all that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
I like the crime episodes. Crime episodes are fucking good.
They're fun. They're mm-hmm. they're a lot of fun. And I feel like we could probably do that every year because there's always new crimes.
Oh, 100%.
Like we could just, we could always do that. Like mm-hmm. if we wanted to, because yeah. that's how we learn about other things too. But yeah, seriously, Netflix, whoever, any streaming thing,
yeah.
someone pick this up because it's awesome. Or if there is such a series based on this dude that we just don't know about, someone tell us.
Yeah, I know,
because
right?
this is fucking awesome.
Yeah, this
like
this
it just
be sweet.
I am just like mesmerized by this. I mean, yeah, he's a criminal. He did bad.
Yeah.
To a lot of people. But guess what? He didn't kill anybody.
No.
As far as what I can tell.
Yeah, as far as what I've seen, like, he never killed anybody. So, the only thing I don't like the felony domestic abuse.
Right. Yeah,
like
that, I hate that.
Like, that's not cool. But other than that, dude, this guy's fucking awesome.
I mean, this guy
like, is fucking awesome.
I mean, this is insane. Like, and it's funny because you almost wonder, because everybody, like, outside of his, you know, outside looking in, like, to his townhouse, if he just kind of sat there, they all thought he was like this.
Oh, yeah.
Almost like this gentle, not gentle guy, but just like yeah, unassuming.
Just like this regular dude.
You know, whatever. Like,
I mean, I saw a picture of him. He just looked like a regular guy. So,
yeah.
You know, just like an unassuming type fucking guy. But underneath, he's a fucking criminal mastermind. Like a literal criminal fucking genius.
I mean, that's insane.
Yeah.
And the fact that he had so much, you know, just like any other, you know, criminal, he had so much money and he's like, I'm still going to do this.
Yeah.
He's like, probably because he was like, I'm good at it.
This is fun.
Yeah.
Like, this is fun.
He literally got just an adrenaline yeah. high off of it.
And I mean, at the same point, probably people he was working with is like still wanted him to fucking do it. So they could get their merchandise as well, you know.
Right.
Because you got him working with the fence, so he's got to, you know, give him all the jewels and then, you know.
I do wonder, like, what did they do with that? Did they also, like, sell some of those to high-end people? You know, because, I don't know. Like, it's...
I'm sure. There's probably a lot. I mean, a lot of them were probably, like, targets. Like there's like specific like diamonds and shit that they're going after, probably for, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if there was like a high enough guy that was like, I want this specific diamond,
and he's, you know, like,
go. I was like, I can get it
like,
for
when
you.
Do you want it by?
Yeah, exactly. It's like I'll get it all figured out. So
like if I get it for, you know, yeah, that's, oh my gosh. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's fantastic. But yeah, so that was Demir Pacinovich. I want to thank you guys for hanging out with us tonight. Kyle, if you listen to this, hopefully you're feeling better, bud, and we'll have you on the next one.
Yeah. And I just wish I knew his, like, villain origin story.
Mm-hmm.
Because that always just, I love hearing those and trying to pinpoint, like, wow, like, what made you?
I like the man. Military idea. I like the Eastern Bloc military idea.
I do. So. Yeah, I do like that.
It makes a lot of sense.
But I just don't, like, I don't understand how they don't know that. Like, why do you go, oh, I think he was in the military.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand that. Like, what are we missing? What am I missing?
How do you not have the records for
this? Like, is Damien, like, is Demir Pacinovich, like, not his name? That's the only name that you know?
Yeah, that's what you know him as, you know?
Like,
but
you know,
that's not his actual name.
I really
Who is this fucking guy?
Yeah, I really do want to even take maybe a deeper dive, like, after this mm-hmm. and actually look more into this dude, because I'm like, I feel like I'm missing something, but yeah. I would just love to know a little bit more about him, but I just don't know that you're gonna. Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, if we find something worthwhile, we could always do a part two.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But it was, yeah, I had fun just, like...
Maybe once he gets out of prison, maybe we can, like, interview him. Can try to, like, hit him up, see if we can find him.
Oh my god,
that'd be sweet. Get his ass on, like, Skype or something like that.
I don't know about that.
I'm gonna meet him. I'd be like, dude, like, you're sweet. Like, don't smack your wife. But, like, other than that, like, you seem like a pretty cool guy. So.
Wow. Yeah, no, I think I'm... I think I'm, like, mesmerized by afar. You know, just, you know, I'll just kind of... I just don't think he's done, you know?
Like, oh, probably not.
Like, 8 years in prison, that's nothing. Like, I just don't... He's still young. He's young.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not convinced that this guy was like, oh, I spent 8 years in prison, I'm a new man. Mm-hmm. Like, I think he's hungry.
I hope so.
I think this guy's diamond hungry.
I wonder if he's looking for help. So.
Such an ass. Oh my gosh. Like, I don't know. I'm very intrigued by this person.
Oh yeah.
But I had a great time reading up on him.
Oh yeah, yeah. This is fun. I like him when things just come out of left field like that. So
yeah, I don't quite feel like what I'm reading is. I feel like somebody made this guy up.
Yeah,
but
I know,
they
right?
didn't.
Exactly.
I do. I feel like.
You're like, this is a story. This isn't a real person. Like, this is just a story.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Wow. Yeah. Unbelievable.
Yep. All right, well, thank you guys for hanging out with us. And I suppose until next time, I'm Kevin.
I'm Amanda.
Happy New Year.
All right, Happy New Year.